Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Before he ascended into heaven, Jesus told his disciples what things would be like after he ascended into heaven. You heard about it last Sunday. Those of you who came to celebrate the Lord's ascension on Thursday heard about it more on Thursday. And you heard in the gospel today what will be coming for Jesus' disciples. You heard about how they would be persecuted, how they would bear the cross for their testimony of Jesus, for their confession of him before men. The same holds true for all who believe in Jesus, because belief in Jesus is always accompanied by confession. Not talking here about the confession of sins, but the confession of Christ, the confession of him as the only Son of God, as true God and true man, as the Savior from sin, besides whom there is no other. Part of believing in Christ is confessing Christ. And for all who confess him, there will be, as Jesus says, persecution, a cross. Because the world, by nature, hates Christ and those who confess him. But the gospel today is not a gospel of despair. It's a gospel of hope. Not the hope of avoiding persecution. The only way to avoid the cross is to deny Christ. Not the hope of avoiding suffering, but the hope of comfort, or rather a comforter who will help you to endure it. Jesus says, "When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father." Helper is a Greek word that has all sorts of shades of meaning. It's the one who is called to your side to be helper, mediator for you, intercessor, encourager, and comforter. Jesus promises to send his disciples such a one, called from the Father's side to your side. Jesus further identifies this comforter as the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. This is the Holy Spirit whom Jesus promised to send. The Spirit of truth, not of error. The Spirit of truth who tells it like it is, not necessarily how you'd like it to be or how your flesh thinks it is. The Spirit of truth who tells God's truth to the world, and specifically to the disciples. This is not the Spirit who comes upon all men. This is the Spirit who comes upon believers as God's gift. He proceeds from the Father and from the Son, as the Son sends him forth from the Father, meaning that this Comforter is divine. He is the Creator God, one with God the Father and God the Son. So when he comes to comfort, it's not the comfort of a creature. It's the comfort of God. It's the comfort of the Creator with divine power. The same divine power by which the Spirit of God created the universe is the divine power that he comes with his comfort. How does he comfort? Jesus says, "He will testify," or "he will bear witness of me." Jesus' disciples had no strength, no courage, very little understanding even of Jesus before the Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost. Before the Spirit came, we find them running away from confrontation. We find them hiding behind locked doors. We find them wondering, as we heard on Thursday in the reading from Acts, if Jesus was now going to come and restore the kingdom to Israel. which wasn't at all what Jesus was planning on doing. But after the Comforter came on the day of Pentecost, we find them testifying about Jesus. We find the Comforter building up their faith, assuring them of who Jesus is, teaching them that Jesus is the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that he's reigning on high, risen from the dead. That testimony in the heart is what the Spirit gives. It's the gift Jesus promised to give to his disciples on the day of Pentecost, and Peter on the day of Pentecost promised the same gift of the Comforter, the Spirit, to those who would be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. He says, the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And how does the Lord our God call? Ever and only through the preaching of the word, the gospel of Jesus, and through the sacraments. Now, St. Paul says that the Spirit himself bears witness or testifies. Where? Testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. He testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. We became children of God through holy baptism, in which God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit put his name on us and adopted us into his family. He adopted us into his family by the shed blood of Jesus that paid for our sins. And now he testifies with us that, yes, Jesus is God. He is your Savior, that there is no other God besides him. He testifies about Jesus who died and rose again and washes you in his holy precious blood in baptism, making you his child, making you an heir. All of this is the testimony of the Spirit. It's a testimony that enters through your ears, but that penetrates to your heart so that you believe it and so that you're cheered up by it, comforted by it, and so that you confess it. Jesus said to his disciples, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, those 11 apostles had a very special task, a special direct calling from Jesus that no one has ever had since except for the apostle Paul. They were with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry, from the time he was baptized until his crucifixion, until his resurrection, until his ascension to the right hand of God. They were eyewitnesses of all that Jesus did and said and suffered so that their testimony would be unique in all the world. We call ourselves apostolic. We call our faith apostolic because those apostles were the eyewitnesses who passed on this faith to us. But you and I have believed the testimony of the apostles that Jesus is the only Savior from sin, our Savior from sin, and the only true God. By that faith, we are justified before God. And then listen to what Paul says about those who believe. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You not only believe in Jesus, you also confess him with your mouth, and to an extent with your actions. In every area of your life, as you confess him to be the only God and the only Savior, you confess him at work. You confess him at home. You confess him in the grocery store. You confess him before your friends. You confess him on Facebook. And knowing how poorly the world understands this Jesus, how many versions of Jesus the world has created, or the false teachings of Satan has created in the world. You will be careful when you confess him to confess the right one. The Jesus who doesn't dwell somehow in your heart or in your feelings, but the Jesus who is ascended into heaven and gives himself to us in his word and sacraments. That Jesus who died for sins, which means that there are sins that need to be repented of. Which means that Jesus is on high and gives forgiveness of sins in his gospel, in the absolution, in the sacrament of the altar. You will confess that Jesus, because the other Jesuses, the other versions of him, the false versions, aren't quite as offensive to the world. The Jesus who is a nice guy, that's not offensive, cross-imposing Jesus. Jesus who just will bring everybody to heaven, that's not offensive, cross-imposing Jesus. That's the easy Jesus to believe in. The one that brings a cross is the one who says that he died for sin, forgives sin, and has a cross, because the world wants its own way of salvation. The world wants its own Savior. The world wants to make its own law and call sin what it doesn't want to do, so that the things it does want to do, it doesn't have to call sin. As you confess the real Jesus, the biblical Jesus in the world, you will suffer. Jesus warns us ahead of time so that you're not surprised by this. Oh, I'm suffering for being a Christian. How horrible. Where did this come from? You know where it comes from. Jesus told you about it on purpose, ahead of time. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. This is the kind of reception that the true gospel of Jesus receives in the world. Some believe, most persecute, most scoff, most reject the testimony about Christ, the Word of God, including those, Jesus says, who claim God as their Father. Just because someone calls themselves a religious person or says that he or she worships God or believes in God, that does not mean believing and trusting in Jesus, the one revealed in Scripture. Many of those who say they believe in Jesus, who believe in the God and Father of Jesus, will be the ones excommunicating, shunning, and killing Christians. Jesus says they have not known the Father nor me, even though they claim to know the Father. I think we often forget that the crosses that we wear, sometimes around our neck, the crosses that we have hanging around our church buildings, I think we forget why they're there. We know they're there because they represent Jesus, but they represent Jesus because he suffered and died on a cross for our sins, and because we who bear his name also bear a cross in this world. The Christian life is a life of cross-bearing. And the cross takes many shapes. For confessing Christ before men, you may be beaten or killed or imprisoned. All of which is happening to Christians around the world right now at this moment. But because that particular treatment of Christians doesn't happen around us, we seem to think sometimes that the cross doesn't touch us here. It does. For confessing Christ before men, you may struggle to get or to keep certain jobs in the world, because a clean conscience before God doesn't allow you to do certain jobs in this world. For confessing Christ before men, you may be unliked by those around you. You may not be able to be with the person that you want to be with as a spouse. You may be looked down upon by the scholars in the world, even rejected by other so-called Christians who believe and teach false doctrines. But more burdensome still is when Satan presses down on these crosses or others and attacks your faith and makes you question everything and despair of God's help. This will never work out. God won't do anything. That's a heavy cross. It sounds like you could really use a comforter, a divine helper. And it seems that Jesus knew that all along, which is why he promised to send the Comforter from the Father's side to yours. Divine help in the face of the cross. For as heavy as the cross may be, if the Creator God is standing at your side as your advocate, what creature can be more powerful than he? A divine encourager. He speaks to your heart and says, cheer up. Cheer up. Remember, Jesus lives and reigns at God's right hand over all things for the good of those who love him. Cheer up. Remember, Jesus told you all this would happen. His word is just as true and just as faithful as always. So instead of getting depressed or angry when you or your fellow Christians are suffering under the cross, remember that Jesus said these things would happen. They're part of his testing of your faith so that you may persevere in it until the end. They're also part of his judgment on the world so that it may be seen that you belonged to Jesus, the suffering one, the cross bearer. Remember Jesus' promise. The Comforter will come. And we celebrate his coming next Sunday on the day of Pentecost. Cheer up. That's not my personal encouragement to you. It's the work of God's Spirit in you. Stay close to where he does his work, to word and sacraments. And hear your God telling you in baptism, in preaching, in the body and blood of Christ. Cheer up. God is on your side. And better yet, God the Comforter is at your side. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.